right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday. We finally made it again. Wow, these weeks are getting longer and harder every single week. Hey, sorry. Also, yesterday I realized after the show was over, I think I launched the show saying it was February. Not quite sure how that happened, but it's not. It's April, and today it's actually quite pleasant out. There's a slight rain. I have no idea what the temperature is because I dropped my phone racing down here with 1 minute to spare. So it is with battery hanging out, sitting on my desk. But let's take a look. It is, drum roll please, 53 degrees and slightly raining here in upstate New York. So it does feel very spring. So hope everybody had a great evening yesterday. I actually wasn't feeling too hot. I crashed out early. If you haven't noticed, I've been working on revamping the website. There is now an item on the menu bar at UCY.TV. It's right smack dab in the middle. I did it on purpose so your eye would go there immediately, and it says UCY chat. The chat is there, and I am working on removing chat from each of the individual host pages. I mean, most people go just to one page anyway and spend their time in there. So I don't think it's going to be that much of a big deal. Each individual host page will still have all their information, their links to social media, as well as their archives. I also embedded a window toward the bottom of every host page that is now pulling direct from YouTube the last 10 shows with a load more. So you can go there and check that out. It actually, I think it looks pretty nice. And it's going to get rid of the issues that we've run into with things going on in chat and disrupting shows of hosts here, which, you know, I mean, we've talked about this. None of us make anything for doing this. If you've ever done a show, you will understand how much time and effort it takes on a daily basis to get stuff together to talk about intelligently. You know, many of us don't really have time in our lives to do a show, but we do it because we feel that it's the right thing to do. We have something to say about it. A lot of us are just driven. You know, I do this as therapy. I need to get it out every day, all the shit that I see that drives me crazy. But it's just not fair to these people who put in time and effort to do live shows. And I know everyone complains when we run a Rebra and, to have the live show trashed by some dumbness that's going on in chat. So, you know what? The host now will be able to link to their homepage so people can go there and get their information. If they want to go to chat, they can, but they're not slapped right in the face with whatever jerkiness is going on and run off the network like I've seen happen many times already. So anyway, that is a change. I'm about halfway through revamping all the pages. I'm going to try and get to the rest of those this afternoon. So by this weekend, UniChat will be just that, UniChat, and that's where you get to it. So just a heads up on that. All right, so anyway, let's get back to where we left off yesterday. I didn't even title the show yesterday, and I have no idea what I talked about because I wasn't in a very good mood. Was still having twitchy eye issues. My twitchy eye has stopped a little bit, but not as much as it should be. Hey, here's something that I want to ask people to pay attention to. Yeah, I've talked about doing experiments over the years on myself. Just because, you know, you don't know who you can trust, especially a doctor. All my health issues that I had for many years, I mean, nobody could help me, so I kind of had to figure it out for myself. But here's something new, and I wouldn't say new as in, like, the last few months, but new as in the last few years. But I only made the connection over the last, I'd say, 6 months or so, probably about two and a half years ago. I started to get this weird thing every once in a while, and it really, first couple times, it freaked me out. I thought it was like a stroke or a brain aneurysm. And that was just out of the blue, getting this vertigo thing where all of a sudden you feel like you're totally wasted for no reason whatsoever. And, you know, the whole room's moving around. I mean, the first couple of times it happened to me, it actually was really bad. Like, I literally could not walk a straight line. And I then had blamed it because you could feel it like in your ears. I blamed it on allergies because it happened in the spring. You know, this time of year, and I'm knocking wood, I'm all right now, but I give it a couple more weeks now that it's warmed up and the mold start coming out. I definitely have a really bad mold allergy issue. I mean, I went to allergists and stuff, tested out for it. So, I mean, it's not a surprise. But I had always assumed that it may have been the allergies that were causing inflammation in all of my breathing airway tubes, potentially, you know, the ear tubes too, since ear, nose, and throat are all connected together. And that was causing the dizziness issues. And they didn't last for very long, you know, maybe a day or two, and then they were gone. But here's the weirdest thing. So a couple years back when that first happened, obviously, I thought I was dying. But then I started noticing that, I mean, it happened every once in a great while. And one day I just happened to be looking at solar activity and noticed that here I had this dizziness issue again. And we had a high KP index for geomagnetic storms. And that is typically when you have some sort of CME or blast from the sun and the Earth gets hit with like what they call a proton storm. I was reading about that a bit. can cause all kinds of weird things. I mean, typically we'll see it as the Northern Lights up here. Though I haven't seen the Northern Lights since I was a kid, but there have been a couple times that we've gotten it pretty bad and they've seen it all the way down to the south. But I've been watching now for, I would say, probably the last year, and I've made it a point that every time one of these dizzy things happens, I go out and I hit solarham.com. That's probably, I mean, I have Earth and Sky Tools on the UCY homepage, and you'll see that there's all the different readings for the sun there, and you can see the KP index. But Solarham, that's a great website. I mean, that's all he deals with is all the sun activity, and he's got charts from all the different agencies up there. And I've noticed a correlation that anytime these dizzy things start, we have a KP index over 5, which is solar storm. And so I don't know, the last 3 or 4 times that it's happened, I've mentioned it to my husband that I've had this dizzy thing again, and then don't we go out, and sure enough, we're in the middle of a solar storm. Well, last night I started getting it again, and I don't feel well when these happen either, because it literally makes you feel like you're partially intoxicated, except you have no control over it, and you didn't do anything. And sure than shit, don't I go out there, and here we are in a solar storm again. So I was just wondering if anyone else has noticed anything like that, or if you haven't noticed anything like that, pay attention to the next time we have a KP index over 5 and see if you feel any different, because it just seems weird to me. I mean, I guess it doesn't. I mean, when these things are coming into the atmosphere, whether it be a proton storm or just high energy, whatever it is, I mean, I don't, electromagnetic radiation or geomagnetic radiation, I mean, it's very possible. Why wouldn't it affect us? It just strikes me as odd, though. I mean, I've never had this before. A few years ago, I've never noticed any effects. I never had any type of vertigo. And it's just been, like I said, over the last 2 years that I started getting this. And it's not all the time. It's very intermittent. There's no real cycle to it, except that I noticed now that the last bunch of times this has happened to me, we've been having a solar storm when I felt that. So I don't know, something to do a long-term homework assignment and let me know if it is just me. Maybe I need to get my hair cut. You know, the Native Americans always thought that with long hair, you had this extrasensory perception. My hair is like beyond long now. You should see the ponytail. One of these days, I'll have to fire the camera up. It's pretty out of control. I definitely need to get probably 6 inches or more cut off this thing. But my cats think I have a tail. So they enjoy it. But no, I need to get some of it cut off. But I don't know. Just thought I'd toss it out there. Trust me, I'm not nuts. It definitely, there is some sort of correlation. I mean, maybe it's just coincidence, but like I said, it started again last night And I went out there, and sure than shit, here we were again in, at a KP over five. So I don't know. Definitely, definitely oddball-y. So where do we go? I think what we're going to look at are a couple things that we probably didn't hit over the last few weeks. There's just so much news out there. This one is actually from March 1st, 2015. It is titled "The Internet of Things, a Dystopian Nightmare Where Everyone and Everything Will Be Monitored on the Internet." And I mean, we've looked at so many things over the last few years in regards to technology and the closing of this bag, the loss of our freedoms and our privacy. You know, once we dug into nanotechnology and understanding that they are putting the stuff into these quote-unquote new vaccinations and things in our food, in our environment, it's really easy to see how it could be possible, even though we don't maybe necessarily see it coming. It's in all of our smart devices. They're putting it into light bulbs, you know. They're putting it into street lamps on the street corner. And, you know, with the advent of things like the self-driving car and the Samsung TVs that spy on you, I mean, you can really see how this is all going to connect together. So let's read this. This is by Michael Snyder. I don't know him personally, but I've read a lot of stuff by him, and it's always been decent stories. It says, can you imagine a world in where your home, your vehicles, your appliances, and every single electronic device that you own is constantly connected to the internet? This is not some grand vision that is being planned for someday in the future. This is something that is being systematically implemented right now. In 2015, we already have quote-unquote smart homes, vehicles that talk to one another, refrigerators that are connected to the internet, and televisions that spy on us. Our world is becoming increasingly interconnected, and that opens up some wonderful possibilities. But there is also a downside, and that's what I like to talk about. I mean, yeah, wonderful possibilities if we lived in this wonderful utopia where we did not have evil in charge. But if you have evil in charge and they have control of everything, don't think it is ever going to be for your benefit. There's also a downside. What if we rapidly reach a point where one must be connected to the internet in order to function in society? And that is absolutely what I see coming here. Will there come a day when we can't even do basic things such as buy, sell, get a job, or a bank account open without it? And that is absolutely true. Once we start looking at biometrics and cashless society, that is where that leads to. You, I mean, we listened to a clip yesterday about the new long-range iris scanner for biometrics where they could look at it over, again, I'm going to say 30 feet, but it was more than that. I think they said 12 meters. So that was like 36 feet they could identify you. Remember, they already have that 235-point facial recognition, and they can do that from way up in the sky with HD cameras on drones. I saw a video the one day, not too long ago, about in the Denver International Airport. They have those facial recognition scanners everywhere. And don't think that that isn't going on in other airports. I know in New Jersey, LaGuardia, I had read a story about the smart light bulbs that had all kinds of interconnectivity. And I'm trying to remember if they had cameras in those as well, but I know that they connected to the internet and they were doing surveillance. I don't know if it was just a mic or if it was a mic and a cam in those light bulbs. But, you know, we can't really go anywhere or do anything without being identified, including going online. I mean, they already have our IP addresses. They're really, really, really pushing now with the new operating systems. I saw OS, not OS, that's Apple. Windows 10 is going to have biometrics, but not just like a single biometric where you'd use a thumbprint scanner or an iris scanner. It's basically using a conglomerate of biometric readings to determine whether or not it's you. So whether it be your voice, coupled with how you type and how you sit in your chair as it's monitoring you, will determine whether or not it's you. So if you're on that shit list that you hadn't complied with something, you use cash versus, you know, the chip implanted in your arm or you didn't get your kid vaccinated, you're going to be on that list. So now all of a sudden you're not allowed to buy things in the store because they don't accept cash anymore at some point in the future. You're not allowed online because you're on that list as a jihadi that they've determined because of your searches for propane tanks. And you took a look at the glossy, I'm trying to remember what it was called, that ISIS put out after all the big news about it. And they gave you a link in the story. You're on the red list. You're not allowed on the internet anymore. And remember, the sister of Zuckerberg, Zuckerberg, who was, and I don't know if she's still at Facebook, Fedbook, but she was, and I think she was like marketing manager or something, but she had come out and said like how horrible it was to have anonymity on the internet. You know, they've really pumped it up now that anonymity allows you to become a terrorist. And now all of our children are running over to the Middle East to become trained jihadis and then coming back here. And they were all radicalized over that pesky internet. The FCC now took over as well. And I can't wait to see how this all pans out because trust me, it is not going to be business as usual as we've always known and loved the internet to be here in the very near future. It's happening. It's definitely happening incrementally. Actually, I'm going to talk about a story. There may have even been a video there that Hecty dropped me the other day using voice recognition now for passwords as well. All right. Anyway, I don't remember where I left off here. What if we rapidly reach a point where one must be connected to the internet in order to function in society? Will there come a day when we can't even do basic things such as buy, sell, get a job, or open a bank account without it? And what about the potential for government abuse? Could an Internet of Things create a dystopian nightmare where everyone and everything will be constantly monitored and tracked by the government? That is something to think about. And, you know, after we listened to that, actually, there were two videos. One was the CEO from Intel yesterday talking about, oh, shit, I keep forgetting the name of that new processor that's coming out for wearables or wearable clothing, wearable computers, wearable computer clothing. Let's put it that way. And he was doing the presentation in front of the CES conference in Vegas, showing them how with this new chip, it has motion sensing. So he could wave his hand and he had these four robotic spiders moving in unison, in swarm unison, based upon his hand movements. You know, once they start embedding these things into wearables, they'll be able, you don't even need to have your cell phone. I mean, right now, you can still turn off location tracking, so they can't get your GPS, but they can still track you on your phone when they look at where your particular number is connecting between the towers. So they can still get a general location of your information, that metadata. We looked at that a long time ago when there was questions about metadata privacy and the NSA was saying, oh, don't worry about it. We can't garner any information from metadata. And then I don't know what investigative group it was, but somebody contracted a private eye-esque type firm that took the metadata from somebody's phone and tried to reconstruct the last 24 hours of what the reporter did. And they were pretty damn accurate, and they could actually track where he drove, who he messaged. I mean, that's all in the history of your phone, who he talked to, where he stopped and bought shit, you know, then looking at his credit card records. So don't think that you're protected by turning off the GPS, but at least it's not giving them like a direct drone bomb location for you at any particular instant. But once you start getting wearables where computers are so tiny and they are integrated into everything, they'll know not only where you are every second of every day, but in that second video that we listened to, and maybe I'll play that again because that was such a fucked up video, and I didn't drop that in chat yesterday, so I'll have to do that. With the wearable clothing that that model had on with those spiders on the shoulders, and it had said that those processors, the Curie, that's what it's called, the new Intel processor is called the Curie, like Madame Curie, they could detect your biological, I don't even know how they worded it. They could detect whether or not you were stressed. So it probably was monitoring like your heart rate, maybe your perspiration. Don't think, and they've been training these computers to be able to read emotions. I remember one back maybe 6, 8 months ago about the dashboard cam that was going to be able to read your facial expressions and determine whether or not you were experiencing road rage. And if you were road raging, then one of these autonomous cars would actually take over from you and relieve you of your driving responsibility until you calm down. So I'm telling you guys, this is beyond dystopia, and it is happening right under our noses under the guise of new cool technology that these half brain dead Americans, and I mean, it's not just in this country, it's all over, but we definitely fell for the Bernaysian, consume, buy, consume, buy, consume, and the dangling carrot. And it's enslaving us, is what it's doing. All right, let's continue on the story about the Internet of Things. Today, the internet has become such an integral part of our lives that it's hard to remember how we ever survived without it. And I got to tell you, I mean, I definitely, we looked at the reactions in the brain and the dopamine production when you get an email, the excitement, it's the dangling carrot. It produces that addiction-like stance with the video games, your phone, your computer. I mean, when my internet goes out, I definitely jones. I feel it. I feel very disconnected. I depend upon the internet to do my job on a daily basis, and I have for 25 years. So that's a really hard habit to break, especially when you understand where that dopamine reaction is in the brain. That is the addictive center. And so it has created almost an addiction to these electronic devices for us. And that's the dirty little secret that we have with these machines. And I mean, our generation, Generation X, those of us born in the 60s and before, were the ones who actually lived life before computers. But anywhere after that, our children, they don't know any different. And that really disturbs me because to break them of this addiction is going to be almost impossible, especially considering as they're pushing more and more of our daily lives into this connected state. It says, and with each passing year, the number of devices connected to the internet continues to grow at an exponential rate. And he's absolutely correct in that. If you have never heard of the Internet of Things before, here's a little bit about it from Wikipedia. Quote, things in the Internet of Things can refer to a wide variety of devices such as heart monitoring implants, biochip transponders on farm animals, electric claims in coastal waters, automobiles with built-in sensors or field operation devices that assist firefighters in search and rescue. These devices collect useful data and, with the help of various existing technologies, and then autonomously flow the data between other devices. Currently, market examples include smart thermostat systems and washers and dryers that utilize Wi-Fi for remote monitoring. And I mean, it goes even beyond that. We look at now farming is even becoming more and more automated. Everything talks together. Your robo bees are going to be communicating with your autonomous farm dog electric ATVs as they're scanning your property. And then you have your robo bees checking on moisture levels and growth levels of your crops. I mean, that is all really coming. Says, but also there's a dark side to the Internet of Things. Security is a huge issue. And when that security is compromised, the consequences can be absolutely horrifying. Just consider this following example. And yeah, we haven't even talked about hacking way back when we found a video from one of the babes at DARPA talking about, and this was after the Michael Hastings mysterious car speed up that smashed him into a telephone pole or a tree at high speeds. The DARPA chick had come out and was talking about how even cars today can be easily hacked. And I mean, now they're talking about autonomous commercial airlines and things. And I mean, that really is a concern. The internet was never developed with security in mind. DARPA now has an RFP out there looking for this self aware almost security, perimeter security, that instead of the old days where You had intrusion detection and protection, and you always had signatures, like in an antivirus software. Like if you got a new virus, but it had never been identified by that virus antivirus provider, you might still be running your antivirus and have a virus and not know it because you don't have the newest definitions. Well, following that came something that was called like day zero. There was like a day zero attack. Day zero is kind of how you did it on the commercial level for protecting your network. And you would put in either software, you would be running a big day zero server, or if you had like huge honking routers, you could actually buy a really expensive card that would plug directly into your router. And what it did was constantly scanned your network and looked for any type of anomalous behavior, regardless of what that behavior was, regardless of if there was a definition of a virus or a piece of malware. The second that an application or an IP address tried to access something that maybe it didn't have access to, there was some sort of password login that maybe was incorrect multiple times, this day zero would send an alert. And that actually has been working pretty well for the last 10 years or so in the commercial space. But DARPA is now looking for almost this self-aware perimeter protection that will constantly be morphing and updating itself. I mean, it sounds more like an artificial intelligent sentry than some sort of day zero prevention. And that concerns me as well, because that actually gives intelligence to the machine. You know, when you really start looking at how that would work, it made me start thinking of Skynet getting a soul. But anyway, let's read a little bit more of this. It says, in a strange series of events that link two Armenian software engineers, a Shenzhen, China-based webcam company, two sets of new parents in the U.S., and unknown creep who likes to hack baby monitors to yell obscenities at children. Wake up, you little bleep, 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 the hacker screamed at the top of his digital lungs last summer when a two-year-old in Houston wouldn't wake up. She happened to be deaf. And a year later, a baby monitor hacker struck again, yelling obscenities at a 10-month-old in Ohio. Both families were using an internet-connected baby monitor made by a Chinese-based firm called Foscam. The hacker took advantage of a weakness in the camera software design that U.S.-based Armenian computer engineers revealed at a security conference in Amsterdam last April. The internet allows us to reach into the outside world from inside our homes, but it also allows the reverse to take place as well. Do we really want to make ourselves that vulnerable? Sadly, we live at a time when people don't really stop to consider the downside of our exploding technological capabilities. And he's absolutely right there. I mean, people just think that this is like cool technology, but they don't realize. I mean, back from the days when Ma Bell was in bed with the government and you had to worry about them turning on the speaker on your phone to be able to listen to your house, you know, that literally, you only had one phone at that time. It was probably like flesh-colored peach and mounted to your wall. You know, I mean, it's really expanded a lot since the 70s. And they can now listen to us and track us anywhere. And don't think that it stops there. I mean, we've listened to clips where they literally are working on trying to decode our dreams, trying to decode our thoughts. And once we are loaded up with nanotech little self-replicating robots that we probably already have in us, you know, there is going to be nothing that is sacred or private anywhere inside of us or outside of us. It says, do we really want to make ourselves that vulnerable? Sadly, we live at a time when people really don't stop to consider the downside to our exploding technological capabilities. In fact, there are many people who are extremely eager to connect themselves to the Internet of Things, and that is true. And I'm going to tell you what, those are the dangerous people. Those are the people that are fostering this connection and our loss of all of our liberties. Those are the people who are pointing at us, calling us fucking whack jobs, and are moving this agenda forward with wanton lust to become one with the machine. People like Ray Kurzweil, who they are psychotic. They want to become a part of the machine. Thank you very much. But after all my years in technology, I don't want fucking part of the machine. I want to be able to disconnect as much as possible. And honestly, if it wasn't for this network, I would be disconnected 99% of the time. except for maybe email like the old days, but none of this other bullshit that I have to deal with on a daily basis. In Sweden, there are dozens of people that have willingly, and this video we played a while back, this is in an office, who have willingly had microchips implanted under their skin. They call themselves biohackers, and they embrace what they see as the coming merger between humanity and technology. Yes, doo-hoo, whack jobs. The following is what one of the founders of a Sweden-based biohacking community had said during one recent interview. Quote, the technology is already happening, unquote, says Hans Soljeblad, one of the founders of BioNifklin. We are seeing a fast-growing community of people experimenting with chip implants, which allows users to quickly and easily transform and perform a variety of everyday tasks, such as allowing access to buildings, unlocking personal devices without PIN codes, and enabling read access to various types of stored data. And yeah, do you know how they're selling this shit? I've been watching now. There have been a couple ads, like even for the Microsoft, the new operating system that's coming. They're selling this as how difficult it is to remember passwords, and doggone it, we all hate remembering and changing passwords, and so it's going to be so easy for you puny humans to not have to remember passwords anymore. Use your brain just by using your body parts to authenticate, or hey, easier still, just insert this little chip under your skin. Now all you got to do is like wave your arm, whoop, or hey, put it in your clothes. All you got to do then is wiggle your shoulder at the door and it opens. But think about the flip side of that. If you were put on the red list, all of a sudden, you can't get into your house. All of a sudden, you can't access your bank account. All of a sudden, you can't pay for the groceries you're standing in line to pay for. All of a sudden, you can't pay for your bills because you don't have access to your account. And, oh, all your qubits have been deleted in the bank. And there really is a scary downside to this. Back to this Swedish founder of BioNifklin says, quote, I consider the takeoff of this technology at another important interface moment in history of computer-human interaction, similar to the launches of the first window desktop or the first touch screens. Identification by touch is innate for humans. PIN codes and passwords are not natural, and every additional device that we have to carry around to identify ourselves, be it a key fob or a swipe card, is just another item that, oh my God, clutters our lives. And of course, this is also happening in the United States as well. In America, a dedicated amateur community, the biohackers, or grinders as they call themselves, have been experimenting with implantable technology for several years. Amal Grafstja, a 38-year-old programmer and self-styled adventure technologist, has been inserting various types of radio frequency ID tags or RFID chips into the soft flesh between his thumb and index finger since 2005. These chips can be read by scanners that Gafstra has installed on the doors of his house and also on his laptop, which gives him access with a swipe of his hand without the need for keys or passwords. But you don't have to have a microchip implant in order to be part of the Internet of Things. In fact, there are a whole host of wearable technologies that are currently being developed for our society, and that's where we started the show. For instance, have you heard about OnStar for the body yet? Well, no, I haven't, actually. OnStar actually was in, I think it was GMC vehicles for a long time. I don't know, is that still, I didn't even know that that program was still running. There was a monthly subscription service, but it was like, you know, the Star Trek computer for your car, had GPS, you could access somebody if you ever ran into trouble and you were broken down, they could identify where you were. So have you heard about OnStar for the body yet? OnStar for the body yet? It will enable, check this out, medical personnel to constantly monitor your health wherever you are. Now, when you realize that we have the aging baby boomer technology, or the aging baby boomer generation, this technology is actually going to make them a bazillion dollars, I'm sure. It's kind of like the next generation of help, I've fallen and I can't get up around your neck. It says smart, cheaper, and point of care sensors, such as those being developed for the Nokia Sensing X Challenge. And I bet you that's probably being done by college students. Just like the robot challenge by DARPA, will further enable the digital checkup from anywhere. The world of quantified self and quantified health will lead to a new generation of wearable technologies partnered with artificial intelligence that will help decipher and make this information actionable. And yes, and once we understand the whole concept behind precision healthcare, Obamacare, getting you into the database, genomics, you know, all the relationship databases that are out there, being able to bag, tag, slice, and dice you from here to tomorrow, you know, this really starts to appear like it is an entirely well-orchestrated design that, you know, they're going to sell all this stuff to you as it's for your benefit, right? They're going to look at the people, like I've always said, the desperate, the ones that feel that they need this to make their life better. They need this as a cure. They need this to make them live longer. They need this to cure their disease, cancers, or, you know, some deformity that they have. You know, that's how they're selling this. And this, these people are the A number one generation of the guinea pig. But what it's going to do is enslave our children. And that's what I just don't get. People like my mom, who at times she's like, well, I understand, but I don't want to think about it. And like I said to her back a few weeks ago, I'm like, but you should care because, you know, maybe you're not going to see this fully transpire in your lifetime, but absolutely in your grandchild's lifetime, this is going to be enslaving your grandchild. Why would you not care and use your time now to alert people to what this technology means in the future? You know, this is not something that you can just put your head in the sand and ignore. There are huge consequences by letting this all go and to increase its ability to monitor us. So anyway, it says this actionability is a key with artificial intelligence to be able to decipher your quantified self and quantified health. It says we hear the term big data used in various contexts, and when applied to health information, it will likely be the smart integration of massive data sets from the Internet of Things with small data about your activity, your mood, and other information. When properly filtered, the data set can give insight on a macro level, population health, and on a micro level, OnStar for the body with a personalized quote unquote check engine light to help identify individual problems before they further develop into expensive, difficult to treat, or fatal conditions. And yes, all under the guise of socialized medicine, when you become too difficult or too expensive to treat, Nana, it's time to take the pill and go to sleep forever. You know, I mean, that's what this is about. Don't you guys see this? My mother does not see this. Nana, you are too much of a burden on society. Your chip tells us so. And now it's time to flip the switch off. If that sounded creepy to you, then this next item will probably blow you away. According to one survey, approximately 1/4 of all professionals in the 18 to 50-year-old age bracket would like to directly connect their brains to the internet. Well, I'll tell you what, I am not 1/4 of any of those professionals. Thank you very much. According to a survey by, hey, we talked about these guys. I used to do their engineering, tech giant Cisco. And they own like 99.99% of the internet backbone, by the way. About 1/4 of professionals ages 15 to 50 would leap at the chance to get a surgical brain implant. And don't think that DARPA's not already messing with that. To allow them to instantly link their thoughts to the internet. And Cisco's been in bed with the government for many, many years. They used to send FBI to do trainings on hackings for Cisco, okay? So this is not some new collaboration that they have. Cisco definitely is part of the machine. The study was conducted on 3,700 adults working in white-collar jobs in 15 countries, and I bet you that they were all Cisco engineers. Assuming a company invented a brain implant that made the World Wide Web instantly accessible to their thoughts, Roughly one quarter would move forward with the operation, said Cisco's study. In the end, and of course, Cisco was looking at how much money that could make them. In the end, they are not going to have to force most of us to get connected to the Internet of Things. Most of us will do it eagerly. And I'll tell you what, those of us who don't are going to become the outsiders, the rebels, the insurgents, the ones who are diseased, who have to live outside of the machine. You know, we've talked about this before. JJ's mentioned how his doctor got really pissy when they wouldn't take the flu shot, I think it was, or he wouldn't get his kid vaccinated for with the Gardasil or whatever. I don't remember what the incident was, but his doctor got all pissy and made a comment, you know, if you don't get this, don't come back here. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. I actually have a couple clips if we have time here about California again. There was some stuff going on. Movement forward with the that bill to force children to get vaccinations. And I think that a lot of doctors are going to get on that bandwagon because, remember, they're all under the control of biopharma. Biopharma then is spreading their lies through the FDA, and the FDA is allowing these studies on these medications and vaccines to be published, even if they're fraudulent, without any type of retraction, that then they are using to throw in our faces and in the faces of the dumb general public to say, hey, look, these anti-vaxxers are fucking freaks because look at all the proof we have that this stuff is healthy for you, that this stuff is good for you. Except what they're not telling you is that there's a grand possibility that either that study was paid, bought and paid for by Big Pharma, or that there weren't proper controls being done. The study was found to be false, and whoops, we forgot to delete it or to put in a retraction. Anyway, back to the story. Are you starting to get the picture? They plan to use the Internet of Things to spy out all of us, but we just can't help ourselves. Our society is a love affair with the new technology. And like I have said, and, you know, a lot of people I've noticed talking about this, and there aren't very many of us that have delved deep into all the connections here, not only with technology, but our biology and some of the crazy mad science gone mad. But the reason why there's this love affair with the new technology is biochemical. It's the dopamine connection in the addiction center of the brain that causes it. That's why there's a love affair. And some of the things that are being developed right now are beyond what most of us had ever dreamed possible. For example, Microsoft has just released a new promotional video featuring 3D holograms. And yes, that is part of the new Windows 10 as well. Smart surfaces, which they've been trying to push here for 15 years already and it's just coming to fruition, and next generation wearable technologies, as well as what they're calling quote unquote fluid mobility. And I bet you Cisco is creaming in their jeans over that one, because being connected everywhere, internet everywhere, and mobile everywhere was their tagline back when I was still doing engineering. Says, quote, the elaborate, highly produced video shows dropping like a scuba mask that annotates the sea with 3D holograms, a multi-part bracelet that joins together to become a communications device, an interactive, flexible display that automatically rehydrates with information specific to the people using them. The video from Microsoft was posted on YouTube, and I have shared this below. I have not watched this video, but hold on one second, because we could play this, and let's see what it says. All right, let's go. I don't know if there's even any talking. Yeah, no, there's probably no talking. She's underwater, and she's getting, and it very much looks like that video that SLC Mike had sent us a long time ago about augmented reality, which that actually was after we had implants implanted in our brains, but like that we literally could be able to, you know, it would, hold on, I'm going to log into chat here really quick because I'm not logged in, so I can drop this link. We literally would be able to have thoughts, and this augmented reality would be organizing our thoughts and displaying them not on a computer screen, but in front of our eyes. And if you watch that video, it is very much like what that video is showing, just the next step before you get to the implant. So you'll be able to see this augmented reality on a screen in your goggles or on a screen on your wristband. Anyway, that story that I just read by Mike Snyder, I posted into chat. I will be posting that in the notes under the show today once it rips to YouTube. So, I don't know, I got about 10 minutes left, so where do we go from here? We looked at all kinds of different things in relation to this and some of these different mysterious diseases that have been coming out all over the place, haven't been seen in 50 years type shit, Black Plague, Chikungunya virus spreading, this epidemic dog flu that appeared in Chicago, dengue, Powassan, that was yesterday, right? That new tick virus that has just appeared in Connecticut. That is just like Lyme's, but way worse and has no cure and makes you have convulsions and holy shit. Actually, let's play that one. I want to play that one again just so you guys hear, because, again, don't think that this just came out of fucking nowhere. This shit doesn't just appear.
Chikungunya, so virus spreading.
Oh, hold on.
Spending time outdoors? Beware. Doctors warn about the Powassan virus, a rare tick-borne illness, but one that could be serious and has no treatment or cure.
The doctor just has to support you during that acute illness and hope that you survive.
Dr. Daniel Cameron, president of the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, says if bitten by an infected tick, you can get the virus within a matter of minutes. And while the symptoms are similar to Lyme disease, they are more severe.
You can get seizures, high fever, stiff neck. It comes on so suddenly.
Researchers with the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station now say the Powassan virus is starting to show up in Bridgeport and Branford.
I wouldn't imagine having something worse than this. It sounds really awful.
Jennifer Sirigliano was diagnosed with Lyme disease 2 years ago. The 15-year-old says it's been a long road of recovery. Now with this emerging tick-borne illness, doctors say be on the lookout.
Be more vigilant about checking. I can't stay indoors. Summer is the time to be outside.
Doctors say there are ways you can protect yourself. Wear long sleeves and pants when you're outside. Avoid spending time in bushy and wooded areas. Always do thorough tick checks after coming back from being outdoors. And wear bug spray. Reporting from Mount Kisco in Westchester County, Tracy Carrasco, CBS 2 News.
Yeah, make sure you soak yourself in DEET insecticide to keep yourself safe. I don't know what's worse. So, I mean, this year, too, they've been warning up in the Northeast that the tick problem is going to be way worse than it's been in past years. I mean, you really got to be careful. And I have dug into ticks. I mean, we looked at Plum Island and them using ticks as well as fleas and mosquitoes as disease spreaders as part of biowarfare historically, you know, through U.S. government experimentation. But it really is scary now that there's this new, you know, never before seen disease that there is no cure for, causes convulsions. It's in the ticks. We found it in Connecticut. You know, ticks can be as small as like a tiny pollen grain. I don't know if you've ever looked really into ticks. I mean, they literally, you can find them so they're a big bulgy size that you'd be able to see them simply. But sometimes they're tiny. And those things can embed themselves under your skin and you'll never know you have it. I caught a story right before I went on air, and it's only about 19 seconds long. But just knowing that now, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates have been running after malaria as one of their big pushes. And now we have these genetically modified mosquitoes because, oh, we have this outbreak of dengue that supposedly is hitting Key West and Florida. And we already released these mosquitoes down in the Caribbean as a test. And we also released them in Australia to combat an equine virus that was attacking the horses last year, the year before. There is a story here from Press TV that came out yesterday about hundreds of British soldiers. And remember, it's always the soldiers that are the first guinea pigs on any of these medications and things. Now, this medication doesn't look like it actually is something that's brand spanking new. But, I mean, we've talked about the Gulf War and the anthrax vaccine with squalene and many of my friends who were in the Gulf War at that time who now have all kinds of fucking problems, and they all blame it on that vaccine. And at that time, and until we had that quote-unquote flu emergency in the United States, squalene was not used in any of our vaccinations. The adjuvant was still aluminum, or the aluminum sulfate or sulfite or whatever it was. But once they declared the emergency, that allowed the fast tracking through the FDA, and they allowed those vaccines in this country. So anyway, I did find this clip interesting, though. Hundreds of British soldiers sickened from anti-malaria drugs, and check this out.
In Britain, hundreds of soldiers are suffering from mental illnesses after being given anti-malarial drugs. Nearly 1,000 British servicemen and women have required psychiatric treatment after taking a discredited drug called Larium, also known as mefloquine. Psychosis, suicidal thoughts, depression, and hallucinations are associated with the medicine.
Depression, hallucinations, and psychotic problems in over 1,000 soldiers who are carrying fucking weapons. You know, and it doesn't even say, I'm looking here. If it I'm looking here to see if it says where those soldiers were stationed, and it does not in the notes, so maybe I'll have to look that up after I get off air. But I did find the drug that they said he said was discredited. I mean, I found this on NetDoctors. This is netdoctor.co.uk, which I figured looking at a UK site would be a good place since these were UK soldiers. And it is still a valid medication. It's called Larium, L-A-R-I-A-M, with another name of mefloquine, M-E-F-L-O-Q-U-I-N-E. How does it work? Larium tablets contain the active ingredient mefloquinone, which I thought quinolone. What was it called? It's in, you can drink the stuff. I don't even remember what it's called, but there's the typical substance that they've always used for an anti-malarial, but it's got a quinine, right? Quinine water. That's what it is. Larium tablets contain an active ingredient, mefloquine, which is a medicine called an anti-malarial and is used in both prevention and treatment of malaria. Malaria is potentially fatal, caused by various types of parasites that, you know, you can get through mosquitoes and other things biting you. But when you go down to the bottom, of course, they're recommending anyone who's going overseas to a country that may have mosquitoes to take this before going out of the country. But warning, in some people, mefloquine can cause psychiatric side effects such as mood or behavioral changes, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, paranoia, feelings of persecution, crying, aggression, forgetfulness, agitation, restlessness, confusion, nightmares, or hallucinations. So this warning is well known, and you're going to give this to fucking soldiers? And I mean, it says it sometimes in some people. You had over 1,000 soldiers experiencing these side effects. Something is dead wrong there. This shit should be pulled off the market. Says if you experience any of these reactions or any other change in your mental state, you should stop taking the medication and consult a doctor immediately. No shit. In 75% of the cases, these sorts of side effects appear by the third dose if they're going to affect you. For this reason, you need to take mefloquine before to prevent malaria. It is recommended that you start taking it 3 weeks before you travel so that if you are affected, you have time to stop taking it and get other preventative measures. This medicine may also cause visual disturbances, dizziness, spinning sensations, or a disturbed sense of balance. As such, it could impair your mental or physical ability to drive or operate machinery. Or how about machine guns? You should also be aware of how you react to this medication before driving or operating machinery. This medicine can also affect your heartbeat. You should consult a doctor if you notice any changes in your heartbeat. Women who get pregnant are advised to use effective contraception to prevent pregnancy while taking these drugs. This is because the medicine has not been fully established as safe while pregnant. And if you get malaria despite taking this medicine to prevent it, or if your malaria comes back after being treated, the infection should be treated with a different malaria. Like, I can't even believe that they gave this shit to soldiers and that over 1,000 of them got sick. That's pretty nuts. So I got about 2 minutes here. I think what I should do before the end of the show, I don't know. Let's end this with something. Here we go. And I need to connect again. Hold on.
Headlines at the 2015 Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. What is known as the spider dress contains a 3D printed bodice with mechanical limbs that move to ward off those who invade the wearer's personal space. The device contains 20 embedded proximity sensors, which have a range of about 23 feet, and biosignals to monitor the wearer's breathing and stress level. It also uses Intel's Edison platform to react in real time to changes in mood or emotion. The dress was created by Anouk Vitrecht, a Dutch-based designer and engineer who describes her expertise as fashion tech. Her inspiration was to use technology and the garment as a medium of interaction. She also finds it interesting that the dress responds to the wearer's internal reactions to the environment, which are not always controllable. Vitrecht believes that the dress can be used for more than just a social experiment. She argues that its sensitivity to the body's distress level could have healthcare applications as well, such as in cases of elevated cardiac activity.
And that's pretty scary. I dropped that into chat so you guys can watch it. That's a really, really scary looking dress. All right, guys. Well, guess what? Last 20 seconds of the Friday show was a really long week. Make sure that you guys chill out tonight. Come check out Josh. Josh is going to be live tonight at 6. We got Primer Times replay from this week at 8, 9 o'clock, Truth on the Tracks, Brandon Show from this week, United Front Radio with Danielle and Kyle, and then live at 11, Levon. All right, come back this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, always awesome radio, and I will catch up with you guys on Monday. Take care.